Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would help us to receive your words today. Lord, you've been speaking about courage so much to me, for us to have the courage to surrender ourselves, for us to have the courage to believe in you, for us to have the courage to live like you want us to live and do what you want us to do. And so I just pray that the Holy Spirit would just calm all of our hearts and open our ears, unplug them, that we could receive the words that God has given to share. And Lord, to realize that the King of Kings gives us these words is just unbelievable. And so, Heavenly Father, I just pray that you find us worthy to receive them and you find me worthy to share them. We ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Really, this Lord Give Me the Courage title has been something that's been going around in my mind quite a while. We're doing the discipleship course, and I am so unworthy to teach that or to facilitate it, I'll say. We're doing it here, and we're doing it out at Cowboy Church, and there's 20-some that are here, and there's about 30 out at Cowboy Church wanting to learn how to be disciples. And what we're finding is that this idea of being a disciple, helping others come to know Christ, is definitely important. It's the Great Commission. But what we're finding is, as we're beginning in this book, that we've got to be discipled ourselves. That we need to be strengthened, we need to understand who he is, and we need to have him to be Lord of our life before we can have the power, really the power, to go out and to speak in other people's lives. So if that's something you want to be part of, you want to get deeper into Christ, you want to understand who you are in Christ, you come on Wednesday nights at, what time is it? 6, 7, yeah, I show up early, like Tim, so come anytime. Lord, give me the courage. I have shared this story about my dad before. There's a lot of humorous stories about dad, but there was a time when we were growing up on 54. It was 116, now it's 54, and somehow, in some way, in the middle of the night, a bat got in the house. How many of you like bats in your house? I tell you, it just changes the atmosphere of the home, doesn't it? And so dad, being the man, the head of the household, he had enough courage that he was going to take on this bat. And so mom kept Brad and I think, in the bedroom. We had the door shut, and dad was out with a rolled-up newspaper, and you could hear him swatting in the hallways. It was a fair fight. It was a duel going on. We could hear it, and we began to laugh about it. Before long, this battle went into the bathroom, and dad shut the door. So now he's in this small room, and man, I tell you what, the swishing is going, and the hammering on the walls is going, and we're laughing. We're standing outside the door, and we're just chuckling. We're just having a great time, because you could just tell that dad was fighting for his life in there. And all of a sudden, we heard a good smack, and then out from under the door crawled the bat by our feet. Now we're running for it. You kind of reap what you sow, because years and years later, Sandy and I were living in Perm, and we had an upstairs bedroom, and we were sleeping on a Saturday morning or whatever it was, and all of a sudden, we could hear snapping. Now, it's either Sandy eating something in bed, which she doesn't usually do, but it was like... It was our dog trying to bite a bat that was flying around our heads. So being the man of the house, learning from dad, I put the covers over my head. Sandy did the same, and we're kind of looking at each other, and I'm thinking, you know, be courageous, honey. Be courageous. Go out there. But I finally got courageous, because it was obvious she wasn't going to go out. And let me just ask you, why are we so brave under a sheet? Like a monster when your kids, right, comes into your bedroom and you put the sheet over your head, you're safe. Somehow you're immune to it. So we have this thing, oh man, I tell you. So I went out there and I began to look for the bat. We never did find the bat. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We never found the bat, so I didn't have to do battle with it. But the point is it takes courage to do some of those things, because the definition of courage is the ability to do something that frightens one. To be able to do something that frightens you. To come up here and preach, I know for Tim and myself, at some level there's fear, because we're not worthy to do this. This is a big deal. And so we write down the words that the Holy Spirit gives us, and then we share them with you, and we pray you guys receive it. But there's also however many critics are here, or how many other people say they compliment you on what takes place. And that's not what it's all about. But sometimes we wonder about the message, and is it going to be so hard that people are going to walk away? That's just being honest. Maybe Tim isn't that. But I do that from time to time. It's like, jeepers, will they come back next week? Prayfully, you guys do for most of the part, but they didn't tell you I was preaching, so that's why you walked in here today. So being courageous is one thing, but there are some synonyms to that, brave or bravery or bold or boldness. But one of the words that wasn't in that synonyms or sames was the word strength. There's a difference to that. The definition of strength is state of being physically strong, a capacity to withstand great force or pressure. So we can be strong, but not necessarily courageous. We can have all kinds of strength, whether it's physical or maybe even spiritual at some times, and because Satan comes in and whispers in our ear that we're inadequate or we can't do it, or gosh, if I say this, I might get embarrassed or they might judge me harshly, we hold back and we don't have the courage to share maybe what God's put on our heart. And that's really a sad point, because as we're talking in the discipleship class, there's kind of a theme that people are saying, I want to learn how to get past that point of where I know that the Lord is impressing on me to pray for someone or to speak to someone, but I just can't get it out. I just can't quite go there. We've got the strength and we have the power of Jesus Christ in us, but there's something that holds us back. And I think we're going to talk about the spiritual courage of doing so. To realize that if he puts that and imparts that on you, that he is going to be with you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you, the Bible says, right? So if he calls me to pray for someone, then I step up to them and ask that I can pray. He's not going to step back and go, watch this. Watch this. He's not going to do that. Tim might do that to me, or I might do that to him, but no, he doesn't do that. And we kind of think of things in our worldly sense and how we've lived life. 2 Corinthians 4:7-10. It says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. Did you catch that? Where's the power coming from? God and not us. See, when we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and he calls us to do something, it's not our part to do it. We just have to walk through the motions, but it's the strength that we've been given through Jesus Christ to be able to do that. You're no longer walking alone in that process. We've got the strength of God. It says, we are hard-pressed. We're talking about strength. Remember, state of being physically strong, capacity to withstand greater force or pressure. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. That word manifested means to display or show or to imitate. So we have this power of God in us, and even though life comes, and even though the world out there comes at us, we realize that we have the life of Jesus Christ in us, and we're yet to model who Jesus Christ is, even in the tough times. I think for a lot of us, that's where it gets very difficult, when we feel that pressure. I mean, how many of us think that there's pressure in society these days against being a Christian? It makes us want to shut our mouths. But we're going to find out that there were some disciples that spoke even though they were threatened to be killed. But the point is that we have God in us. And God has one idea and one plan only, and that's to help others to come to know the saving grace of his son, Jesus Christ, but also for us to be strengthened and empowered to be able to share that message no matter what. Guess where it needs to be shared the most? Where it's the darkest. Sometimes where it's the most dangerous. That's where he wants to be, on that front line of speaking into someone's life or speaking into society's life or making a stand against something. You want to choose to do that? That's fine. You tell God you're choosing that. You're not going to choose what he says is right, but then don't push that on me. I will not do that because my God has clearly stated what he goes for and what he doesn't go for. Can we be strong enough to stand for that? Or are we going to start to kind of weaken? We've got strength, but we hold back. We've got power, but we hold back. We've got a voice of God, but we don't speak it because we're afraid of the repercussions, the political fallout, per se. How many of you guys are politically anyway? I mean, really, I don't live my life that way. I'm politically incorrect most of the time, I guess, apparently, to society. But we have God in us. Paul's saying, though we may think we are at the end of our rope, we are never at the end of our hope. Get it? Man, my boss used to always say, give them enough rope, they'll hang themselves. Yeah. And sometimes we get ourselves way out there. I once used an analogy of an anchor, and I had a long rope, and I would let the rope out, and I'd say, you know what? I'm still hooked to Christ. I'm still hooked to Christ. I'm still hooked to Christ, but look at how much playroom I got now. I can wander all over. Oh, yeah, I got Christ. There is my anchor, but I got my rope. I'm still attached to him. Man, reel yourself in. Is that like a mime? Reel yourself in. Stand right by the anchor. Because a boat, when it's tight to the anchor, can't move very much. And society wants us to move. It wants us to change all the time, and it's always for the negative and not for the positive. We got to walk away from sin. Faith, I believe, dictates the strength and the courage and the boldness that we have. Your level of faith. It helps you decide the strength you have. It helps you decide the boldness and the courage you have in your walk with God. Not just in our own personal lives to fight off sin, but to be able to share that, to be able to imitate Christ throughout everyone in the community, through your family, through your workplace, all these different things. Your level of faith makes a difference. It makes a big difference. We've got to be able to do His good works. We have to eradicate, we have to hate, we have to loathe, we have to despise, we have to detest, and have no love lost for Satan and his works. How many of us detest sin? I mean, just hate it. That when it comes into your life, you catch yourself doing something, or you just did it, that you just scream out, "I hate you, Satan! I hate this sin!" Or we just kind of brush it off and say, "Oops, I did it again." Isn't there a song like that? We got to hate it. As much as we love Christ, hate sin. There should be about an equal balance. There should be an equal pressure taking place. The Bible talks about us being pressured and compressed from all sides, but we have the strength of Jesus Christ to stand strong and not to cave. But how many of us find ourselves caving into sin? Our flesh gets pretty strong. It gets ideas all its own. Before long, we fall into sin, and then we struggle with that. Then Satan comes to shame you and guilt you and say you're horrible and dirty and filthy and all these different things, when all the Holy Spirit is saying is, you know what, that's not what you should be doing. I want to convict you. I want to move you in the right direction. I want you to repent from that, turn away from it, and let's continue moving on. The devil doesn't want us to move on. And so when we sin, he can also use that to attack us even a second time. Romans 12:3 speaks of God giving all the measure of faith. In other words, it says, a faith that has not grown but is sufficient for belief in God and salvation. He gives us even that first faith to believe in him. He equips us with that. But that's just the seed. That's just the beginning of something. He wants us to take that faith and to cause it to grow. Grow in him through the word, through prayer, through coming to church, through coming to the studies, all these different things, finding yourself in alliance with someone that will speak life into you and not speak death into you. And before long, you begin to build that faith. You begin to build that faith. So don't just get stuck in that faith that's just enough that came from Christ himself and not ourselves to receive his calling when he gives us that invitation. Don't just live at that level. That's the beginning level. That's the ground floor. It's an important floor. But there's so much more that Christ has for us if we will grow in our faith. Galatians 2:20 in the King James Version says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of, this is King James, of the Son of God. New King James says, in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. They're both right. We had this question on Thursday night, discipleship. One of my Bibles says, it says, the faith of the Son of God, and the other one says, faith in the Son of God. Which one's right, Brian? I don't know. Both of them. Because God gives us the faith to believe in him, and once we believe in him, we now have the faith in the Son of God. So they're both right. But we realize that he wants us to live in him, or in him, and he wants to live in us. He wants us to get rid of the flesh and pick up the spirit. But too many of us sometimes, I think, get stuck in the fleshly part of it. Oh, we have this desire, we have this passion, but we don't necessarily act on it. We don't necessarily act on it. We want your faith to grow in strength and courage and boldness. You want to pray, Lord, give me more courage. Give me all that you have for me. We always speak about David and Goliath, but David killed a lion and a bear prior to the giant. Small victories, although he took on a lion and a bear. I don't know if you call that small. All right, how about like a mouse and a bigger mouse? I mean, that killed me many a mice. Yeah, no bats. He killed a lion and a bear first. The point is he grew in his faith by seeing success in walking with God. If we will walk forward with God, we begin to see more and more victories that he has for us, more and more giftings, more and more love, more and more grace, provision. We walk in his provision, and before long, your faith begins to grow. Now when that true trial comes, that bigger one, you're ready for it. You're ready for it because you've seen victory. You can build faith on victory with Christ. He proves himself faithful. How many of you have had someone say, oh, I'll be there at 7, I'll be there. Oh, I'll be there. You, no, count on it. I'll be there. 8:30, they're not there. We can't always count on man, but we can count on God. But here's the question. Can he count on us? Can he count on us? He's got this whole message he wants to share with people. He wants us to live that abundant life with him, but then he wants us to kick that out to other people. Pour it out to them too. You found something wonderful, pour it out to them. Yeah, there's a sale at Walmart. You pour that out to people. Yeah, there's a great recipe. You pour that out. Facebook, you send and share and share and share and share and share. Then it comes to Christ and it's hard. We say it's hard. But I believe it's hard because we don't allow ourselves to grow in the small victories with Christ that we're so excited about them. We can't help but spurt them out. I got to talk about Christ. I know you guys always hear this, but I got to share again about Christ. Oh, here comes Brian. He's going to talk about God again. Prayfully so. We're supposed to be lights in a dark place. Hopefully, if you're in a room that's black and dark and someone wants to read a letter, they come near you. Oh, there I can see it. You're the light of the world. Lord, Lord, Lord. Give them courage, Lord. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do what things? All things through Christ who strengthens me. I am the most frequent sayer of all being almost like a swear word in the Bible because all means all. Man, I looked it up again. I'm always looking for the loophole. All means everything. All of it. And so he says, I can do all things through Christ. So if we don't have courage, we've got to have the courage because I can do everything through Christ. I can't win the lottery. That's not through Christ. But I can serve him. I can spend time with him and he will reveal his words to me. He will make time. He'll get you up early in the morning and you won't be fatigued at the end of the night even though you got up at 3 o'clock because he makes a way. I can do all things through Christ because he wants us to do all things through him. So we should have some courage in that verse. That's an all verse. I hate some of the all verses. I don't hate them. I shouldn't say that. But I struggle. I hate myself because I fall short. In Matthew 22:37, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with what? All your heart. With what? All your soul. And with what? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That was a lawyer asking Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? So if we will love him with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind, we're going to be courageous. We're unstoppable. Because it's Christ standing before someone. It's Christ dealing with the issues in your life. It's Christ fighting against the sin that you have in your life. Because we give him our all. Think about the areas of your life where you're struggling. Is it an area that you've given Christ truly? If it's a sin, you haven't given it to him because he doesn't want sin. But he gives us the power and the courage and the boldness to say, I don't want that sin in my life anymore. Do you know that we have to almost beg and pray, Lord, help me to say I don't need that in my life anymore because we've got so focused to say, my courage is based on this thing that I do, or my courage is based on that person, or my courage is based on what I watch or what I hear from somebody else. And Christ is saying, I am the courage maker. Come to me. Share, talk with me, receive from me. But too many times we look elsewhere. Too many times we struggle. This whole word all, dang it, that's a tough word. Lord, give me the courage, the strength, the boldness to carry out that greatest commandment. Man, if we could lick that one, man, that would be awesome. We'd be a soldiering army for God. We could just give them our all. I'm looking for the translation. Anyone have a translation that says some? Or whatever you think? Darn it, Lord, you have no gray areas. You have no loopholes. I hate that, no loopholes. Again, definition of all is the whole amount. Every individual component, completely. Every and all. It is going to take courage to get to that point. It's going to take boldness on our part to say, you know what, Satan, I no longer am listening to you. I'm taking captive those thoughts. I'm resisting you, and you have to flee from me because I want to be strong and courageous and bold in Jesus Christ because it says that I can be. Oh, it's so simple. End of story. We're done. Wouldn't that be nice? But it's a lifelong battle, isn't it? Daily. When the Bible says to pick up your cross daily, it doesn't say pick up your cross once in your lifetime. It says pick it up daily because this is a daily battle. I'm human. I realize it. I can preach this stuff and it sounds fantastic, but it's sometimes hard to live. But I'll guarantee you it's harder to live when you're farther away from Christ. When Christ is way over there and you're living your life over here, it is darn hard to give him even anything except Sunday morning. I'll come here Sunday morning, Lord. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. I surrender all. And then we go back over here again, live through the week way over here again. Man, if this is you, then hear this. If this is you, hear this. Because this is what Satan is doing and lying and cheating us because we think we got it figured out enough that we can drift off and do our own thing and then show up for a while and get a little dab of Jesus and then move on. You'll never have a victorious life. You'll never be courageous against sin. You'll never be courageous against society. You'll never be courageous against anything. You're going to be more influenced by the world, more influenced by society because you spend most of your time out here dabbling in all the stuff that they say is now fantastic to do. Society says you have the right to do this and the right to do that. You want to know if you have the right to do it, come into the Word of God and see what he says. Give up your opinions about things and say, I gave up my opinion to God. This is what God says. You want to talk to someone about opinions? You talk to him. That's a courageous statement. I'm not going to fight with you. I'm not going to bicker with you. I'm going to look at what the Word says and I'm going to follow that. When you look in the Old Testament, the word strong and of good courage, that statement is 14 times in the Old Testament. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. See, we've got to be both. We've got to be strong in God, and because we're strong in God, we can then be courageous with him and for him. They go together, and he's not talking about pumping up on steroids like, I'm strong. That hurt. Dang. Oof, I got to rest. 14 times it says it in the Old Testament. It doesn't say any in the New Testament. It doesn't make that statement. We'll talk about that. But I want to go to Joshua 1, 6 through 9. I want to read this to you. Let's see. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's right when God was commissioning Joshua to take the place of Moses who had passed on to take him to the promised land. But let me just jump up. I didn't put it on here, but let me read verse 5. This is why it's easier to have that power, because he's in the Word. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Man, if he said that to us, wouldn't that be cool that we'd have all the confidence we'd need to walk boldly with Christ? But he did say that. It's for all of us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. If you've ever felt alone apart from Christ, there's sometimes he gives you that quiet time to ponder who you are and are you really there, Lord? And, you know, you're calling out and you're waiting for him to respond. But oftentimes it's because we're so far that he can't hear us anymore. Only he hears us, but the relationship isn't there, that give and take relationship, that growth. But Joshua was just told, you know what, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to give you the land that you promised. When he went as a spy, he said, go and look at the land that I promised my people. He said, I'm going to give it to you, and yet they were still scared to go. He says, it will give us an abundant life. Are you still scared to go there? He asks us to be a disciple for him and help other people to come to know Jesus. Are you still scared to go there? Because it's hard. Because it's going to take courage to surrender your flesh. It's going to take courage to say no to the sin you so love. where you get your courage from. I think I've heard many times that there's courage in a bottle. Ever hear that one? Should we sing karaoke tonight? No, not until I've had a couple drinks. Then I've got my courage. Why don't you ask that gal to dance? Oh, I have to have a couple drinks first. Then I'll be more courageous. We look for courage in too many wrong places. We look for strength in too many wrong places. We've got it all right here. We've got it all inside us if we'll just take that. But I know it's easier said than done. We get distracted with things. We lose focus. We become stagnant like swamp water. Supposed to be, you know, streams of living water flowing out of us. But if we hold that in and we just sit at home and we don't really grow in Christ, it becomes swamp water. Anyone want to drink? Not at all. Courage of David and courage of Moses and Abraham, Joshua, on and on and on. The Bible's full of people that walked with God, walked closely with God, and you saw the courageous things that they did. But where do we find our courage? Go ahead and play that clip.
Well, I'll get you anyway, Pee-wee.
Shame on you.
What did you do that for? I didn't bite them.
No, but you tried to. It's bad enough picking on a straw man, but when you go around picking on poor little dogs.
Well, you didn't have to go and hit me, did you? Is my nose bleeding?
Well, of course not. My goodness, what a fuss you're making. Well, naturally, when you go around picking on things weaker than you are. Why, you're nothing but a great big coward.
You're right. I am a coward. I haven't any courage at all. I even scare myself. Look at the cycles under my eyes. I haven't slept in weeks.
Why don't you try counting sheep?
That doesn't do any good. I'm afraid of them.
As for you, my fine friend, you're a victim of disorganized thinking. You are under the unfortunate delusion that simply because you run away from danger, you have no courage. You're confusing courage with wisdom. Back where I come from, there we have men who are called heroes. Once a year, they take their fortitude out of mothballs and parade it down the main street of the city. And they have no more courage than you have. But they have one thing that you haven't got, a medal. Therefore, for meritorious conduct, extraordinary valor, conspicuous bravery against wicked witches, I award you the Triple Cross. You are now a member of the Legion of Courage.
Shucks, folks, I'm speechless.
So we saw where he went to get his courage, Oz. Now, I was going to run, just for save time, I was going to run behind and pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. I love that line. But he went to Oz. Now, just like All-Star Wrestling, that's not really real, just in case anyone didn't want to pop your bubble. But that's not real. Where do you go to get your courage? Where do you go? In fact, he gave him a plaque, he gave him a medal and told him, you know, heroes wear this and whatnot, and all of a sudden he felt courageous. Sometimes I think we feel courageous because we show up here at church. See, look at what I'm doing. I showed up. But that's not where courage really comes from. Not this building, coming together and hearing his word and singing songs of praise to the king and receiving all he has for us and building a true relationship, a relationship where he knows you by name and you know him by name and you hear his voice and you understand and recognize it. That's where we get courage to live in this scary world. It's getting darker and darker and scarier and scarier. We need more and more strength. And there isn't an Oz. I think people say there's an Oz. People tell you the Oz. The government says we're going to take care of you, or this or that's going to take care of you, or take this pill or smoke this or take that or whatever it might be, and you're going to have courage. You're going to feel good. But it's all false. It's all temporary. To have a true footing in God means we have to have that true footing in God. 1 John 4:4, he's talking about false prophets and evil spirits. He says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Man, that statement right there, he who is in you, if you have Jesus Christ in you, he's greater than you, in you, than anything of the world. including Satan himself. So we have to live like we're victorious in that statement. We have that power, my friends. We have that power within us to be strong, to be courageous, to do the things that God wants us to do in a very dark and scary world. But it means standing up with God, to realize that he's in us, to realize that he has power for us, and he wants to equip us with the right things to say and the right things to do at the right time so that we can make a difference for him. You go to the New Testament, you only see the word courage one time. And it's when Paul is going into Rome after getting off the ships, and some Roman believers ran out to meet him, and it said that he thanked God and he felt more courageous, because it's like, wow, this is really working. The word is spreading. But you only find it one time, and you don't see where it talks about be strong of good courage, because we now have Jesus Christ in us. That is in us now if we accept him as our Lord and Savior. Again, Galatians 2:20, I say it again, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. He says, he lives in me, right? And Christ is stronger than anything that this world can put at us, right? Should we live that way then? Should we trust God? Oh, but Brian, if I say something, I might get yelled at, or if I say something, eventually I might get imprisoned for that. Well, we have many examples where people got imprisoned for that, and guess what? They were still vocal. They were still helping people to get saved because they had the courage of Jesus Christ, who doesn't stop. Who doesn't stop. But my friends, the Holy Spirit wants to scream out of me, have you started? Have you even started? Have you even started? This is a challenging thing. I hate to preach these sometimes because people just want to sometimes not hear this kind of stuff. But I tell you what, unless you're living in Christ and for Christ and with Christ, you're just not going to go anywhere. And we're going to have you come into our office over and over again saying, same old thing's happening. We'll say, well, did you do what you said you were going to do? Did you get in the Word? Did you study the Word? Did you pray about it? Well, no, we were going to, but we didn't do that. Surprise. Surprise. We tell our kids all the time they need to change their ways or change their behaviors to do better. You take kids out in a driving test, you're constantly saying, you know, blink, slow down, where's the car? You know, you want them to learn how to drive well. Once they get their license like us, forget how good you drive or not. It doesn't matter. We got our license, right? We prove that every day. How many of you think you'd pass a driving test? Yeah, not many. You're not that courageous. I'm not that courageous. Maybe that's a great example right there. Man, we studied. How many of you studied and you took that driver's ed and you had to pass? You wanted that license so bad you could taste it. Num, 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 num. And as soon as you get it, hey, it's kind of out. And it's, you know, I got the general rules. But then we learn all kinds of rules as we grow older, don't we? Doesn't really mean to stop if there's no one coming. You can kind of just slow down and then hurry up and speed out. And the speed limit's just kind of a general idea of what they want you to do. And how we park, and it's just different. It's all different. I think that's what happened. We come in here and we hear the rules. We read the rules, but then we go out here and say, but that's kind of, we can push and shove a little bit on those. It's kind of a guide. The Bible's a guideline. No, it's not. It's the line. Peter and John, they're preaching and teaching. They're healing in the name of Jesus. They get arrested. Oh, I tell you, all the religious leaders are just up in arms. I mean, God, we want to kill these guys, but you know what? They did do a miracle. You can't deny it. There's like 5,000 people that are getting saved, walking around, seeing these things. What do we do? So they're taken before the religious elders, and they're told not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. They've been reprimanded. They've had their hands slapped. They've been shut up now. Just go out there and shut up. What do they do? Acts 4:19-20. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In other words, they've been told to shut up. But yet they speak it all the more. They speak it all the more. I don't know if I gave you Acts 4:29-31. Did I give you that one? All right, I'll read it to you. Now, Lord, took on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. The place was shaken. They prayed, show us, it was shaken. Are you shaken enough in your walk with God to do something about it? Are you praying for the boldness? Do you realize that these guys could have kept shut? You know, shut up, shut up, shut up. They could have kept it quiet, but they didn't do that. They went out and continued to speak for God even after that. Yet we have struggled sometimes to even begin the process of speaking anything about Jesus to this dark, dark world. Now, maybe some of you are sitting out there convicted going, oh, man, I hate these kind of sermons. I know we're supposed to do it, but these guys were like superhumans. They were like supermans of the day. We can all be supermans and superwomens for God because he's supposed to be residing in us. He uses us and he speaks through us, but we're just tools that he uses. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, when I think he was speaking about some sin, he said, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Man, praise God for that. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He owns us. He paid the price for us. We need to live like that. I mean, we're temples, right? How clean's your temple? Now, Diana, Keith, and Thomas cleaned this temple. It takes a lot of hours through the week to do that. But they don't come and clean our temples. We clean our temples with God. So how clean is our temple? Because I guarantee you, if you have kind of a filthy temple, hasn't been clean for a while, and you keep bringing in all kinds of dirt and muck and mire, man, you can't get courageous. You can't even lift off the ground to scream that you're courageous for God. Because you know that you know that you know that there's so much sin in your life that you feel so condemned and feel so inadequate because you're living in such a dark place that you say, there's no way I could leap up with confidence. I can't go talk about God because I can't live it in my own life. But we have Jesus Christ to help us through that process, to repent and to change who we are, to clean us up, create in me a clean heart, create in me a clean temple, oh God. And then give me the strength that you've already placed in me to go out and do things for you. And let me start right in my own home. Let me start with me. Strengthen me so that I can live the way you want me to live, and then help me to go out and begin to help other people come to know that too. Dear Lord, give me the courage and the strength and the boldness to be what you want me to be. Man, I tell you, that discipleship course, we're just in the first book of three just in that series, and we're in like the third, we're going to be on the third study, and holy cow already. There's some work to be done in my life and anyone that's attending that. Now, if you don't know that, you say, well, God, I didn't know there was any work to be done. Show up. Show up on Wednesday nights and read the study with us. But what we realize in that study already is that we need to clean up who we are to be able to go do what he wants us to do. So the first book or more is about us. It's about who we really are. It's about what we're really lacking and what we're not surrendering and what we are choosing to do or not choosing to do, because it makes a difference in our ability to be strong and courageous for God, rather than just passive and quiet. You know, he says, of good courage. You know, there's evil courage out there also. You know, people that spend hours trying to connive something, or trying to cheat somebody, or trying to steal from somebody, or trying to, you know, how many hours do we spend hiding a sin? Oh man, we got to cover our tracks so good. We got to cover our tracks so good so this sin isn't exposed. We work and work and work at it. If we'd work and work and work at doing good stuff, holy cow, who knows what could happen? Oh, but I believe the devil has us. He has us telling us lies and saying we can't do it and it's just too much. And they're talking about surrendering all. That all word. Yeah. It's what it says we're supposed to do. So we work at it. We chip away at it. Progress, not perfection immediately, but we strive in how we live and the choices we make and the studies we go to or don't go to, or the one on Friday night or Tuesdays, and there's Friday the women are doing things, and there's Thursday prayer time. There's so many opportunities to begin to strengthen that area of who you are so you can be all that God wants you to be. Dear Lord, help me be courageous. Dear Lord, help us all to be courageous. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Heavenly Father, man, I'm so inadequate. I just preached to myself for 45 minutes. But Lord, I know there's people out here just like me. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you break those chains and people that are so passive. Just showing up here isn't enough, my friends. He has so much more for us. He wants us to live a victorious life, but to live that life, we have to be courageous in him. We have to surrender, be strong and bold enough to surrender some of the sins that we have, to give up some of those things that we think are ours for us, those things that somehow give us a false sense of security or false sense of courage or a false sense of bravery or false sense of strength. Lord, it only comes from you, but man, Lord, open their ears right now. Let them receive it. Let this not be wasted and fall on the carpet. Let this not be wasted and left only in this room as we leave. Holy Spirit, help it to impart into our lives and into our hearts that we take this seriously, that there's an awakening in some people here today. That heart of stone is being turned to a heart of flesh. That there's a transformation that's beginning in their lives. They realize they need more faith because with more faith they can live a victorious life and a more courageous one. Holy Spirit, amplify what I just said. Do what you do, because I can't do it. I so want people to change, but I can't do it. So don't let these words be wasted, Holy Spirit. You gave them from the kingdom. You gave them for us. So Heavenly Father, I pray that we receive them in your name. Precious name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody says, amen. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. Have a fantastic week.